in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. One of the youngest coaches in international football is Jonathan McKinstry, the 34-year-old manager of the Cranes of Uganda. McKinstry was only 27 years old when he was named Sierra Leone's manager in 2013. From there, McKinstry moved to Rwanda, and he was named Uganda's head coach last year. Originally from Northern Ireland, McKinstry has also coached clubs in Lithuania and Bangladesh. Like many coaches, McKinstry is now making changes and adjustments because of the suspension of African football due to the coronavirus crisis. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye called Kampala, where he reached Coach McKinstry.
Obviously, since the suspension of football activities due to the outbreak of COVID-19, we've had to sort of get ourselves into a slightly new daily rhythm. Now, obviously, being involved in international football, you get accustomed to, you know, working away from your players because we know the contact time on the grass is less. But even for this period right now, it's obviously been different because we were, you know, we should have today been kicking off the Chan tournament against Rwanda up in Cameroon. So, you know, what should have been a very busy period for us is now, you know, considerably less so. However, you know, we reworked our schedules and the day-to-day activities in terms of scouting, matches, in terms of training players, all of that is obviously on hold at the moment. But what we are able to do is focus in on our sort of medium to long-term planning. You know, throughout 2020 and even into 2021, we had a 12 to 18 month plan to really work on a new national sort of philosophy for the game. You know, how do we link, you know, what we're doing with the youngest players at grassroots level all the way up to the senior national team, and how do we produce top quality Ugandan players who can excel at the top end of the game? And so now with everything else sort of on hold, it really allows working from home to really get into the small detail of those sort of medium to long term plans. And again, you're able to share that, you know, with people all around the world, you know, to get feedback on it. We're able to have video conferences using the various software that's available. So really, we're not wasting the time. We're making sure that, you know, this time where we're having to be more isolated, working from home, that it's not wasted time, that we're using it well. And actually, I think, you know, after we come out of this pandemic period, you know, we will be ready to play again, but actually we will have got some things in terms of our planning, in terms of our structures for the development of Ugandan football going forward that, you know, will be make us better and stronger for the next 10 or 20 years.
Despite the suspension, are you in contact with your players and officials? Are the players engaged in training ahead of resumption of football activities?
Obviously, with football being suspended, we know that all our players who are based all around the world, are they themselves, you know, facing challenges in terms of now they're having to stay at home, they're having to train individually away from their teams, away from their teammates and their coaches. And so we're making sure that we are there as a support mechanism. Obviously, players at their clubs, many of their clubs have assigned them their own individual training programs that are being monitored and updated on a regular basis. But we ourselves have also ensured that we have sort of sent through some supplementary training programs so that if players, you know, feel that they need more than what their club are providing them, or maybe even for players here in the Ugandan Premier League who maybe where the physical conditioning programs are not quite as advanced, we're supporting all of those players. And even this morning, you know, I've spent all morning on the phone with the majority of our players, you know, for 10, 15 minutes, you know, whether that be over a video call or just a regular call or WhatsApp messages. You know, we're staying in contact to basically say, look, we as a national federation, as a technical team, are there for the players to support them through this period. And whatever they feel they need, whether it's additional training programs, whether it's sort of things to work on their sort of mental strength, their focus, whatever it happens to be, we want to be there to make sure that the combination of what they're being provided for by their clubs and us as a national federation to make sure that once we are finished this period of lockdown, this period of football suspension, players are both physically and mentally ready to pick up again and to compete, because we know that after this period, you know, people are going to need enjoyment. They're going to need, you know, a distraction from what has been a difficult period for not just Uganda, but the entire world. And I think sports is going to play an important role post-pandemic, this pandemic period. So we're working hard to make sure the players are ready for that time.
Are you prepared for challenges when football activities resume in the continent?
In terms of when football resumes, I think, you know, as I've said, the world is going to want some relief. They're going to want, you know, yes, at the moment, football is on the back burner because it is more important that we focus on our medical services, on our essential services to make sure, you know, people are able to continue as normal as possible whilst working from home, whilst being socially distant and isolating to make sure we prevent the spread of this virus. But after all of that, you know, people are being very disciplined, are being very, you know, committed to make sure that we get out of this as soon as possible. But when we are out of it, you know, people are going to want a release. They're going to want to get those enjoyable activities that they've missed out on back on their schedules. And I think for a large proportion of the world, sports and football in particular is a big part of their life, and it's a big part of how they relax and how they enjoy themselves, whether that's as playing or supporting, you know, with their friends and family. It's a very communal activity in terms of gathering around, whether it's at the stadiums or in front of the TV.
That's Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of Uganda's national football team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Kampala, Uganda.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitros-Redovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Joining us now with more African football news is Samson Omale.
Ugandan Kitara Football Club head coach Mark Tinamwasiku has pledged to give half of his salary to his players to shield themselves from the possible financial difficulties expected as sports continues to remain halted. Lack of training and matches means players will have to do with daily training allowances as well as match bonuses, and this would definitely see a reduction in monthly wages. Meanwhile, the owner of Kenyan Premier League side Wazito FC, Ricardo Badua, has said his players and staff will continue to receive their full salaries despite the difficulties currently experienced due to the absence of matches. The Swede says he has the experience of being jobless and without money and will not let his players go through the same. Elsewhere in Sierra Leone, the Sierra Leone Football Association has announced a financial support to the country's leagues to remain afloat during this difficult time. SLFA says it will distribute almost $67,500 to the Premier League, Division 1 and 2 to help the clubs meet their financial obligations to players. In Ghana, the technical director of the Ghana Football Association, Uti Akentien, is not really happy that his contract was not renewed, even though he had earlier stated categorically that he will not apply for the job again. The Ghana FA wants a replacement for the veteran football administrator whose contract expired in March. The FA has, however, opened applications for interested coaches to apply for the top job, and Uti Akentien is disappointed about that.
I've done so much on my own that now that people are coming in, where your work probably will be much seen by the whole country, or by people, you are now being put aside. That is the only worry that I have, but that notwithstanding, I'm sure I'll be using one way or the other.
Nigerian athletes are lending their voices to the fight against COVID-19 pandemic, asking athletes and ordinary people to be guided by the directives of health authorities in preventing the disease. Evelyn Ahiato of the nation's female basketball team, Divine Odudoro, 100 meters dash and 200 meters track and field sprinter, Udunayo Adekunwoye, Africa and Nigeria number one badminton player, Anololapo Apiori, and Oluwatobilola Amusan, the 2018 Commonwealth and 2019 100 meters hurdles African champion, are among athletes urging for compliance to curtail the spread of coronavirus.
We are fighting the war, and the medical staff needs our help in fighting this war.
And it is our responsibility to keep ourselves safe and keep the world safe.
Avoid handshakes, hugs, and crowded places.
And thanks to Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria, for that package of sports news. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Lori. That's my VOA colleague, Lori London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. At such an uncertain time in the sporting world and life in general, maybe it helps to think ahead to what could still be sporting events that can quicken the heartbeat and raise the spirits. In athletics, anticipation was high when it was announced that Eliud Kipchoge and Kenenisa Bekele would race in the London Marathon this year. That event in the British capital has been postponed from April to October 4th, and it still promises to be a spectacular contest. Here's how the energetic Andy Edwards viewed the prospect when the news was announced earlier this year.
This has every prospect of being like a heavyweight world title fight, but instead of verbal and physical punches, the dedication and meticulous ability of the Kipchoge and Bekele camps will be put to the test. Just a moment. Another intriguing ingredient to this brew is that both men are managed by the same agency, Global Sports, and its boss, the former Dutch international runner Jos Hermans, has a close relationship with both. Looking at results over the past couple of years suggests that Eliud Kipchoge goes to the start line in London as favourite. He is the world record holder with 2:01.39, the Olympic champion, and the only runner to break 2 hours for the marathon, which he did in Vienna last October, although the Ineos 159 challenge did not conform to official race regulations. Nevertheless, for all the help from teams of pacemakers, the barrier still had to be broken, and Kipchoge did it, even looking fresh at the end. Kenenisa Bekele's career looked on the brink of closure before the Berlin Marathon in late September. He had failed to finish his previous three marathons, and manager Jos Hermans had expressed harsh words for what he called the star's wavering dedication to training, distracted, according to Hermans, by his business interests. Bekele returned to form with vengeance, not only winning but running to within 2 seconds of Kipchoge's world record. That achievement restored his status as a threat to anyone in the marathon. 24 hours after his win, he said his long-term injury problems were behind him and he was ready for the ultimate challenge.
I'm very happy if I run again with Eliud Kipchoge anywhere soon or whatever. I'm ready for that.
Bekele and Kipchoge have raced twice before in London, in 2016 and 2018, and Eliud Kipchoge has emerged victorious on both occasions. As if their contest doesn't have enough talking points already, both men are likely to be wearing the Nike Vaporfly shoes, or whatever will be by then the latest development in that model, and which have stirred up the running world. Like Muhammad Ali's epic contest with Joe Frazier and George Foreman, Eliud versus Ken Anisa to decide who is the top man is unlikely to be settled by just one bout. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Meanwhile, charities in Britain that rely on sports fundraising have taken a hit because of postponed sporting events. With more details, here's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Hi, Gwen.
Hey, Sunny. The coronavirus pandemic has led to the postponement of almost every major sporting event across the globe. And charities who rely on sports fundraising are feeling the brunt as well. This year's London Marathon has been moved from April to October, and more than 750 charities who rely on the event are facing a shortage of funds due to the six-month delay. Catherine Bosworth is the director of income generation for Hospice UK, a charity that earns over 70% of its annual income from fundraising for the London Marathon, and she says that funding is desperately needed.
I mean, we're very pleased that the marathon has been postponed rather than completely cancelled. We hope that it will still go ahead in October. I suppose that, like everybody, we'll need to see where we are. But obviously for Hospice UK and many of our hospice charities that we represent, it has a huge impact on our ability to generate funds right now. And of course, at a time when hospices in particular being at the forefront of healthcare and such an important part of our healthcare system need all of the funding that we can get. It's quite a stark figure that since the beginning of March, we estimate that hospice funding, hospice income, is down to the tune of about £70 million in just that short time. So we really are in a sort of crisis mode.
The coronavirus crisis has infected over 50,000 people in the UK and nearly 5,000 have died. An enforced lockdown to fight the outbreak, along with postponed sporting events, have hit charitable organizations particularly hard. And Catherine Bosworth says fundraising events have been canceled for the foreseeable future.
We're still hoping that they will run towards the end of the summer and into the autumn. If that isn't the case, it does present really, really difficult challenges for hospices. And I fear that, yes, we're going to be seeing services closing, so we're not going to be able to help all the people that need it at a time when demand is going to be increasing quite dramatically. So, it's a huge problem in the short term. We hope that as many hospices as we can help to stay open, to continue to help people in their communities, we'll be able to for the foreseeable future, but there will come a point when funds are just going to run out. And then I fear that we will start to see services severely impacted.
And Catherine Bosworth says charities like hers that rely on the London Marathon are concerned about their survival.
The London Marathon is such an important event for so many charities. I think last year it raised around £66 million for charities. So it's a colossal, significantly important event. For a charity such as Hospice UK, last year we generated about £500,000 from the marathon, from our incredible runners. And that's out of a total event income of about £600,000-£700,000. So it's a big, big proportion of what we do, and therefore has a huge impact going forward on affecting our finances generally across the board.
According to a survey conducted by the Directorate of Social Change, half of respondents from the charity sector said their organization would go broke within 6 months without additional help. Hospices reported a dip in income worth over $86 million. And Catherine Bosworth says without fundraising events in the immediate future, she fears many services and staff income will be cut.
They're having to look at, you know, taking advantage of some of the schemes that are out there, like the furloughing scheme for non-frontline staff. But that then has a knock-on effect on what they're able to do, particularly fundraising. If you haven't got any fundraisers, then you can't do any more fundraising. But they're just at the moment trying to keep the doors open. We're looking at alternative ways of generating some funds for the hospice sector in the meantime. And we hope that we'll be able to do that soon so that we can keep our hospices open, keep our hospices as such a key part of the community.
Catherine Bosworth mentioned alternatives to furloughing staff, and I want to give an update on my report from Monday's show on the issue of pay cuts in soccer. I reported that several clubs, including Liverpool, were furloughing some of their non-playing staff due to COVID-19. Well, after that report aired, Liverpool reversed their decision, and club CEO Peter Moore issued an apology that read in part, "We believe we came to the wrong conclusion last week to announce that we intended to apply to the coronavirus retention scheme and furlough staff, and we are truly sorry for that." Moore adds, "Our intentions were and still are to ensure the entire workforce is given as much protection as possible from redundancy and or loss of earnings during this unprecedented period." And that is all from me for now. Sunny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Senegalese basketball player Taco Fall of the Boston Celtics has a special message for us during the coronavirus pandemic.
Hi, everyone. It's Taco Fall. I just wanted to say that now's the time to practice kindness and empathy towards everyone around you. We are doing our best to get through this together, so make sure you do your part. Grab a book, read it to your nieces and nephews and video chat, make a donation of canned goods to your local food bank, or even add some items to your shopping cart for your elderly neighbors. But most importantly, don't forget to just pick up the phone and call somebody and check in. That may mean a lot. You never know. We all can be next to each other right now, but we still can show how much we care about one another. So visit NBATogether.com and join us in inspiring acts of caring. Thank you.
Thank you, Taco. That's Senegalese big man, Taco Fall of the Boston Celtics. Meanwhile, National Basketball Association Commissioner Adam Silver is bracing for several more weeks of uncertainty about the remainder of this halted season. Silver reveals that he does not expect the league will be able to decide anything until at least May. Silver spoke on the NBA's Twitter account. He touched on many topics, including how the NBA is looking at numerous scenarios for a return. But in every case, the uncertainty of the coronavirus pandemic makes it impossible to move too far forward. The NBA commissioner said, and I quote, "Essentially, what I've told my folks over the last week is that we should just accept that at least for the month of April, we won't be in a position to make any decisions." The NBA has told teams that they may not conduct or attend workouts with draft-eligible players during the league hiatus. That's a major change from typical procedures. Teams are also prohibited from watching, requesting, or sharing any video, live or recorded, of a draft-eligible player or prospect taking parts in workouts during the league shutdown. And that wraps up the April 7th edition of the show. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.